Hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is the fourth of a series of four sermons where we've been looking and are looking at some of the distinctives of this particular fellowship. And I pray and hope that it's been helpful to you who have been here some time, but also an encouragement to those of you who have recently joined this fellowship, that you'll have an understanding of some of the truths that we hold dear as a fellowship. We've listed four, there are others, but these things which we have spoken about, for example, our love for the Word of God, our desire to be obedient to the Word of God, that the Word of God will shape our own lives, our own testimonies, as well as the life of the fellowship, is crucial. We don't want the world or culture to shape us as believers. We want God and His precious, precious Word to shape, to change us, and that we will be conformed to the Word rather than to society. There's the exhortation to come out. To come out and to be separate from the world. And we pray as believers and as a church, we will indeed be separate unto Jesus, which means that we will have a story to share with others of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the gospel. And so we pray that we have an increasing love for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Especially in these last days when biblical discernment is sadly lacking with so many. What is biblical discernment? Well, it's the ability to test, to judge, and to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong, as the Bible defines such things. There is a way, of course, which seems right to man, but the end of it leads to destruction and death. But those who follow the Lord and His ways, they will know His blessing, His peace, and that church will know the favour of God. Hallelujah. And so my heart and the heart of the elders and all here is that we, because we do want to help you, we want to help your family, we want to help your friends to discern properly and thus avoid being spiritually deceived. And I think one of the biggest deceptions that of the biblical illiterate masses today is falling for another Jesus. And I pray that we will not be distracted or tempted away from the biblical Jesus, the Jesus that is revealed in the Word and that has been made known to us through faith by the blessed Holy Spirit. So loving the Word, so important. I pray that it will be like honey to our lips, that we will eat it and be satisfied. Hallelujah. We looked at the distinctive of being a Pentecostal church, a church which is believing in the miraculous, in the Holy Spirit to convert, in the Holy Spirit to indwell us, that we become living temples. He has tabernacled among us. Glory to His name. What a God. And we want to see, and we believe the Connect groups will help us so that each one who is a believer, a follower of Jesus, who has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit, will use giftings from the Lord for the benefit and edification of others. And that's not just in the church, but outside as well. And last week we looked at the significance of Israel. We believe in God's purposes for Israel. He has not finished with her, and although largely they are still in rebellion, their time of salvation will come. Hallelujah. Blessed be His name. The church has not replaced Israel. Indeed, we have been engrafted in. Jesus speaks about the fig tree. although it withered and so on. Its time of restoration is coming. Indeed, one of the most significant events of end-time prophecy, which many, even in this fellowship, have seen with their own eyes, was the ingathering, the coming together, and the formation of Israel as a nation once again in 1948, and then again the significant events of 1967, when Jerusalem was declared the capital. Today, I want to speak for a few moments on our distinctive of believing in the second coming of Christ. Christ is coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of our songs this morning have centered on that theme, the coming King. Hallelujah. And I pray that each one will be ready to welcome him whenever he should call. Hallelujah. Will you turn with me first, though, to Galatians chapter 4? Paul's letter to Galatians in chapter 4, and we're reading verses 4 to 6. Verses 4 to 6 of Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as children. Now, friends, God the Father knew, before we were created, before we had a being, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, because of our first father's rebellion against God, their pride and wanting to do their own thing, God having then given us a free will, that we would all sin. We would all be born in sin and shapen in iniquity, is what the theologians call original sin. And God knew that our sin, our unrighteousness, our transgressions, our pride, our selfishness would separate us from the Father, from the Son, which would necessitate in eternal judgment and punishment for the transgressors, which would mean every one of us. Isaiah in chapter 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. So because we are separated from God through our own sin, through our own folly, we have become estranged from God. Nevertheless, because of God's great love, amazing love, he determined to send his Son into the world to die for sinners, to offer his life as a sacrifice of substitution. That is why Isaiah goes on to say, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, friends, there's some amazing records of conversations between God the Father, God the Son in eternity past, which are recorded in Scripture. There's some incredible statements where you have a discussion of God the Father and God the Son. Yes, they're one God, but separate identities. And one of these, what I call amazing and incredible discussions between the Father and between the Son in eternity past concerning your salvation, concerning my salvation, are found in Psalm 40. Psalm number 40 in verses 6 to 8. Psalm number 40 in verses 6 to 8. This is a conversation between Father God and his Son, Jesus, the Word. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. That's a conversation that God the Father, God the Son, is having in eternity. The Son is speaking to the Father. The Son is speaking to the Father about what he truly requires and what the Father doesn't really want. What God wants, but what he also doesn't want. It is not the sacrifice and gifts of animal blood and the fat as later required by the law ordained by God. It is not that. What does the Father truly require? It says in verse 7 of Psalm 40, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Hallelujah. The Father, God the Father, requires a life, a truly human life, of loving obedience, of fellowship, and of worship. And when the Son, Jesus, says in verse 6, my ears you have opened, it literally means my ears you have pierced, in reference to the ritual of the bond slaves in Exodus. Because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into the world as a bondslave of God, sold out to do the will of the Father as a human being, still God, but as a human being, even unto death. That was the conversation they was having in eternity. I have come to do your will. I'm going to give my life as a ransom for sinners. And perhaps, one of the most quoted of the incredible and amazing conversations within the Godhead is Psalm 110. Psalm 110. In which the Father decrees that the Son, Jesus Christ, would be both a ruling king and a priest forever. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And of course, the writer of the Hebrews, as he did Psalm 40, refers as to this verse as unto Jesus Christ, the Son. You are a priest forever. This is God talking to his Son in eternity. I find this so wonderful, so confirming. You are a priest forever. What is a priest? What is a priest? Not our idea of the priest in some of the churches that we have. A priest is a mediator, a true mediator. A priest is one whose life is consecrated to God. And it is to bring men to God and God to men. So the Father swore in eternity past that he, Jesus, hallelujah, that he, Jesus, would be a priest forever for us. That he would be able to bring God and man together. For he alone, Jesus Christ, is both God and man. That he would bring reconciliation between rebellious sinners and a holy God. This is the conversation that he was having. And Jesus, as he was thinking about this, that when he would leave his glory, leave his presence with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, he was looking forward. He said, yes, I'm going to do your will, O God. I'm going to come so that they will have a Saviour, that they will not be punished forever for their sins. I've already referred to Isaiah in another place. Isaiah prophesied, and we've heard it this morning in our reading, for unto us a child is born, a man, and unto us a son is given, God himself. God himself. You see, men, women, boys and girls, in their weakness, in their sinful humanity, they need a priest. They need a priest. They need one who understands their infirmities, their weaknesses, their sorrows. But God requires a human. He requires someone who will be absolutely faithful and completely holy and pure. And Jesus Christ, the Son, is the only one who will complete such a requirement. Blessed be his name. So when the fullness of time came, as we have read in Galatians chapter 4, the Father sent the Son into the world to save the world. Aren't you thankful for that? This is a conversation that I was having, that I was planning it in eternity past. They knew that man would rebel, man would do their own thing, man would do what was pleasing to their own eyes. They'd go after things which would do them no good and would bring destruction forever upon them. But they had a conversation. We need a people who are going to love us, who will be part of our family, who we will not only share an inheritance with them in eternity in the future, but will dwell with them now in the presence. You see, the Son, Jesus, would need a body. And in Mary's womb, God had prepared a Saviour to come into the world. The time for salvation was arriving. Hallelujah. Have you welcomed this Saviour? Or is he still just a helpless babe which you can croon over, whatever? Or do you see him as this priest, as this saviour, this king, who gave his life as a ransom? This was the conversation they were having. Do you know something? Because he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are still having conversations. They're still having conversations at heaven concerning you and me. So when you're going through deep, deep trials, when you're going through challenges and difficulties, when you're being tempted, Jesus says, God, you're the advocate. Uphold them. Appear for them. Send your Holy Spirit to comfort. Deliver. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. Welcome him as your friend. Welcome him as your saviour. Welcome him as your high priest. Welcome him as the coming king. So as we move on, did you know that Jesus Christ, in his first coming, fulfilled some 300 prophecies that are in the Old Testament? There are 300-ish prophecies referring to the first coming, the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of those prophecies are repeated almost word for word, but there are 300 roughly mentions of the first coming of Jesus. Mentioning his birth, mentioning his life, mentioning his death, mentioning his resurrection. And you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he met every challenge. He satisfied every ancient type, every ancient prophecy, every promise. He fulfilled it. He satisfied them all in his first coming. Jesus was able to say to his heavenly Father, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Let's just read that in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Will you turn to, or it will be on the screen, of course, John 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to us, to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." The glory he had with the Father when they were having conversations together. This has so blessed me as I've been meditating on these scriptures these past few days. Now, as we come to the present, you only have to read a newspaper, you only have to watch the news on the television or on the internet or elsewhere, in order to see and to know that even in our generation, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Indeed, in the past 100 years or so, there's been an amazing number of prophecies which are in the scriptures that have been fulfilled. We've already mentioned one, if not the most significant one, that of the rebirth of Israel as a nation. And of course, Christ himself in Matthew 24 and in other places talks about the signs that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus. So much is happening. We believe as a fellowship that the time is rapidly approaching for the Lord Jesus Christ to return to this earth and take the kingdoms of this world for himself. Let me tell you, there are many aspects of his coming that I could talk this morning. I want to focus on one. We're thankful to God for the teaching that we have, the teaching and answers and prophecy, etc. We're thankful for the booklets that Philip has produced, and I pray that they will be available. The booklets called Watch, etc. All things to help us to be ready for the coming of the Son of Man and of God. But Jesus Christ, friends, is going to return to this earth and take the kingdoms of this world for himself. Did you know that there are even more promises, more prophecies concerning the second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus, than the first? Indeed, we mentioned there are around 300 concerning his first. There are roughly 500 verses, 500 texts, 500 scriptures which speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, in the New Testament alone, one in every 25 verses One in every 25 verses are speaking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and his various aspects and impacts. And friends, don't you think, I believe you do, I hope you do, that if Jesus fulfilled the 300 or so prophecies concerning his first coming, the 500 or so will be accurately fulfilled in his coming again. Those that pertain to his first coming, they will also pertain to his second coming. Jesus is coming. The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared for his coming? Are you prepared if he came for you today, this evening? Are you prepared? Is your hope firmly in Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in him that he has died for you and he rose again for your justification? Or is it just a story? If you have believed in him, if you're seeking to follow him and be obedient to him, if you're seeking to put his word, his will into practice and confess it when you come so far short and believe for the blood that will cleanse you from your sins and your follies, then when he should come, whether he comes in the clouds, whether the trumpets are sound, whether he comes on the white horse or takes you home tonight, you will be ready. Behold, the King is coming. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? For the believer, it will be an amazing moment. Home will shortly be there. I will arrive soon. We sung that wonderful song that, yes, soon and very soon, he is coming. The King is coming. And as Revelation and other passages remind us, if we're ready for this his coming, there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more weakness, no more sin, and no more dying. Hallelujah. That's something to look forward to. That's something to keep you going in the dark times which you may be going through at this moment. You see, one of the great themes of the Word of God, one of the great themes of the Bible is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is found in the Old Testament as well as the New. The theme is Jesus, and the subject is the kingdom that his Father has promised him. If you are a believer, if you are a follower in Jesus, the kingdom has already come among you. It is within you. But the realization, the manifestation of the actual kingdom is still in the future, a little way ahead. But Christ has promised, God has promised his Son. And we read about it in the psalm, one of the conversations that they had in eternity past, that the kingdoms of the world would become his kingdom, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There are many, many Bible prophecies, many Bible texts that speak of this coming God and this kingdom. One of them is Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5, which I will read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. So friends, such Bible verses as these, such prophecies as these, clearly states that God intends to set the Lord Jesus Christ up as king over all the earth. Wow. Folks, we moan, we complain, we get exasperated by what is going on in governments, the corruption, and it's horrible. And it just shows how the God of this age, the prince of this world, is having a field day. And that's why the believer, the family of God, pray, do spiritual warfare, and seek that even some of these wicked powers, these dominions, these principalities will be held back. But one day, there will be the perfect kingdom of righteousness. And all who have been obedient and followed Jesus in this life will reign with him as winners. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. So we won't have anything to complain about then. We won't have anything to be cross about. He's coming. Hallelujah. There have been many kings, queens, prime ministers, and others that have risen and fallen throughout history. But God has in mind a perfect king for his promised kingdom. Hallelujah. And we'll be able to reign and live with him because we would have become perfect ourselves. We know we're imperfect at this moment. We're seeking to be transformed. We're seeking to become holy as he is holy, to walk after him, to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. We don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh because that brings the Spirit's withdrawal from us. We want to walk with Jesus now. But one day, that which is imperfect is going to become perfect. That which is corrupting now is going to become incorruptible. And we shall have a body like unto him and no sin within. A perfect king for a perfect kingdom which he wants to share with others. And just coming back to the New Testament, we find that God still has a kingdom very much in mind. If we turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and verses 31 to 33. This is the prophecies concerning the birth of John the Baptist and the coming of Jesus. Verse 31, talking to Mary, the angel says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Hallelujah. Praise be to God. John the Baptist came preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. And Jesus also preached this message when he began to preach, as we read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Friends, getting ready for the celebration of Christmas is hardly to be compared to being ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Most people, and even in church, are going to make sure they're prepared for Christmas, but sadly will be unprepared if Christ comes. Missing the celebrations of Christmas might be better for many, because for many people, missing Christmas would mean staying sober, avoiding illicit relationships or damaging family relationships. It would mean staying out of debt, or at least not adding to their existing debt. But in contrast, not being prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be devastating, and it will have an impact for eternity. Are you ready? Or are you spending too much time on the here and now and not thinking about what really matters? We need to measure ourselves, dear friends, by the preparedness for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is more urgent than you realize. Time is running out. If you're an unbeliever, you can prepare by acknowledging the first coming of Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Acknowledge him. Confess him. Turn from your wicked ways. Say, my Lord, my God, my Saviour. The John tells us in the Word, he tells us in John chapter 1, for example, that while the letter of John, that while many deny Jesus, there are those in every generation who will receive and believe in Jesus Christ. They will bow at the manger, they will embrace the cross, they will make room in their hearts by personal faith in Jesus Christ and become the children of God. Is that you? I do hope so. I do pray so. Friends, if you are a believer and follower of Jesus, you can prepare even more for the second coming by ensuring your life is in order. We sung that song, I lift my hands to the coming king, and I'm not going to serve any other foreign treasure. I'm not going to hold things so which are of the world, which are going to take me away from worship and serving of the Lord. And Lord, if I have an idol within me, if there's something that is keeping me from fully wholehearted devotion and surrender to you, I want to be willing to tear it down so that I'm ready for you. Hallelujah. Do you know, friends, we must serve Jesus Christ. We're here on earth as believers for one reason, that we will bring glory to God, that our lives glorify God, so that we can better share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost world. Hey, is what you have, is it good enough to share? Christianity, without teaching the second coming, robs Jesus Christ of all of God's precious, precious promises to him. I believe, and we believe in this church, that the teaching and preaching of the second coming is very, very essential, because it speaks of God's righteous King returning to this earth and taking rightfully what belongs to him. Hallelujah. And Christians should be rejoicing. Christians should be happy because of this fact. The Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation, will soon return to this earth and set things in order. And you can be on the winning side. We thank God that Jesus came the first time. The whole world actually marks time by it. BC, AD. It happened just as Jesus promised. We can thank God for it. But it will be the same with the second coming of Christ. Be prepared. Most of the scholars, most of the religious people missed his first coming, and they've suffered ever since. Don't be left behind. Don't waste your life. Serve Jesus while you can. The King is coming. Amen. Amen.